Okay, we're back. And with us tonight is our friend of many years now, Jan Smith, who has probably been doing more science on the Morgellons issue than anyone else for a longer period of time. She is another citizen scientist. Jan has had Morgellons for about 15 years now, and she has done so much to fill the internet up with opportunities for all of you to look at the fibers, to look at even videotapes of some of the fibers moving. Jan has demonstrated an astute knowledge of science and the ability to present it in such a way that anybody can sit down and get right into it and understand what it's all about. If you look below her name in the guests section at Rentz.com, you'll see a link to her latest paper about transhumanism. You need to look at that. It is full of pictures. We're going to be talking about some of those images tonight. Jan's discoveries have been, unfortunately, appropriated by others from time to time, shall we say, and they have forgotten to give her credit. Attribution is a word they don't understand, but we're going to make sure tonight that she gets credit for at least some of the material that she has done and offered to all of us to learn from. Hello, Jan. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
Glad you're still there.
Yeah, me too.
Every day I get up, I'm glad I'm still here. All right. Now, you've been at this 15 years, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And of course, in the very beginning of this first 15 years, I thought I was probably the only one on the planet that had this disease.
Right.
Well, so when you think you're the only one that has something, that was what my motivation was for starting to do the research, because
right.
I felt that I was pretty much on my own.
Did you go to college at any point earlier and have a medical or an interest in science, any kind of a background that spurred you into this, or was it just an intellectual curiosity?
I always enjoyed science, but when I was in college, I took other subjects more geared toward teaching. So, I had some science and biology along the way, but it was just the kind of necessities that I had to take. But
right. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, basically, I was one of those people that used to be squeamish, and I couldn't even watch the health channel if they were doing surgery on anybody. So I really had to come a long way down the road to even want to do what I do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, under Jan's name, I've got it called the title is my own, but the Many Evil Faces of Morgellons. To give you the idea that what we're going to look at are different, well, I don't know what you'd call them. They're just different things, items that have come out of Jan's and other people's bodies. And this is pretty amazing. It's called Racing Down the Road to Transhumanism. That's the formal title of the article. I'd like all of you to click on underneath Jan's name and go to this particular article. We're going to look at some things that many of you probably have seen elsewhere that came from Jan. And I don't know how many careers you've spawned with your work, but it's more than a few. It must drive you crazy when you see your material on other people's essays, articles, and websites without your name attached to them. I mean,
it didn't when it first was happening, because I really, know that I don't have an MD, so I was always kind of
very kind. Very.
I wanted to defer to somebody that felt that they had more knowledge.
Sure.
Because I was on the shy side.
I understand. Well, you wanted to share your work too, and you thought that it belonged to everyone. Now,
definitely.
Sure. And I've seen, for example, the golden head picture, which is the first picture at the top, on many websites, in many articles about Morgellons, never mentioning Jan Smith, and often, usually, misdescribing what it is.
Well, I can give you a quick synopsis of that story. I did fiber burn tests at my house on my own. And then I, mentioned to a researcher my results, and these were my results that these pictures are of. And then the researcher took these pictures, and they apparently became hers.
Yep, happens. Scott, we live in the age of plagiarism, where there's no accountability for damn near anything anymore. So let's look at these pictures. These are blue fibers. Now, these came from Jan's body. The top picture, number one, is often called the blue golden head fiber. And tell us the story on that and what temperatures Fahrenheit were involved with creating that gold tip.
Okay, so what I have is a little butane burner, and I have a ceramic tile that I burn on, and I took this fiber, and you have to realize these fibers are so minuscule. They're not nearly as big as a hair, so that when you burn them with a flame like that, they're totally engulfed in flame. And I burned this one for 30 seconds, and when I took the flame away, this was what was still sitting there.
In other words, the butane flame did not incinerate the fiber, all right?
No, and I think that may go from anywhere between 1,400 to 1,700 degrees.
Right, right.
So now, what we learned from this, and I will give credit to the researcher that did this, she did take it into the nano realm. I really wasn't sure about what that was to begin with, but in having studied these things since then, these are a type of fiber that are composed of two parts. They're composed of an outer casing and an inner casing that has a payload in it. So what would happen when you burn this fiber is the outside casing takes more heat than the inside material. That melts and pushes its way out of the inner casing because it has more viscosity, and it probably has a different rate of burn.
Right. Agreed. Now, I've seen this fiber described as a golden head fiber, without any mention whatsoever of the fact that it had been burned, and that's one reason it turned golden on the tip. I mean,
absolutely, because before the golden head fiber was like this, it was just like the one in photo number two.
Right, all blue. But yeah. I've seen people, like I said, describing it as, well, here's one with a golden tip on it.
No, not so much.
No. Like I say, it's pretty disgusting. So that's why Jan is so valuable to all of us who care about the truth and getting to the bottom of this mess as much as we can.
Well, I want to give kudos to my bud, Cliff Mickelson, because he was in the early days with me he was on the phone with me doing research, and he said, gee, have you tried to burn these? And I said, no. And so I really do give him credit for the idea, and it was a great idea.
Cliff is always on with Jan, and I didn't invite him on tonight because I wanted to focus on Jan's work and take you folks through as many of these pictures as quickly as we could. Cliff will be on next time round, as he always is. Hi, Cliff. I hope you're listening. Now, number two, it's just blue round fibers, and there are also some other fibers there. I guess what would you call them? Clear?
Yeah, they're clear, flat fibers. They're not the ones that I would call fiber optic. There's some other fibers that are clear, but they're more wrinkled, and they're less clear. The fiber optic fibers are just like glass.
Right, right.
I can tell by looking at that fiber that's a burn fiber because it's very round and rigid.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones that have a payload inside of them.
Got it. Not all of them do.
No, not all of them do at all.
All right. Number three is blue grooved fibers found with a concave center that have emptied their payload. Now, that payload means that there are items inside these fibers, some of them.
Essentially, it would be just like fiber number one, except that instead of getting burned or still being full of materials, it's already released it in the body, so that once it's released it's concave. It's just kind of, filled with something that's making it kind of turgid, and then as soon as it empties, it kind of flattens out on itself because it's empty.
If you look very carefully at the concave portion of it, you can see what appear to be segments. Those were actually where the interior payload items were, apparently, and they have been disgorged. How they came out, I don't know, through the middle, through the ends.
Well, if you get those fibers like that, they're flat all the way till the end, so they have somehow come out of the end, and there may actually be a growth or some other kind of a trigger going on in there which causes them to release. And I don't know what it would be in particular, if it's just the age of the fiber or what makes it ready. But those are the ones that I can still burn that casing and it won't burn, but there's nothing that's going to come out of there.
How interesting. All right. We're sort of taking a walk through a taxonomy of the various kinds of items that have presented themselves in Jan's body, and that she has cataloged and photographed. And again, she's done this for many, many years. And when you see these pictures elsewhere, just remember that they, in many cases, came from Jan Smith's countless hours of work on our behalf. Number four, blue fibers encased in red glowing gel that will not burn but turn clear upon burning. different properties in
golden.
Now, what
happens with these fibers is they come encased in this red gel, and as we go down through this paper, you're going to find out how very important that red gel is to the whole thing that's going on in our bodies. So the casing on the outside of that will fall off and leave this large blue fiber, but the difference between the blue fiber that it leaves, which are in the next two pictures, is that blue fiber, the color of the casing is not blue. It's a clear casing, and it has blue fluid in it.
Wow. What a variety. How many, as we slide into the break, how many different kinds of things have you cataloged to date that you would definitely be able to find on more than one occasion that's not just a one-off thing?
Oh, God, at least 40, I would say.
Yeah. Okay, take a look at some of these pictures. We come back with Jan in just a couple minutes. We'll continue our walk through her work, some of her research, just to give you an idea of the variety. Dermatologists will tell most of their clients that these are just fibers from various kinds of fabrics, synthetic fabrics, and so forth, that get embedded in the skin. Wrong. We know that story. Back in a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Jan Smith and taking a look at some of her amazing photographs of the images that are displayed. If you click under her name, you'll go right to the paper in question, and you'll see them. We're looking at number 5 and number 6, I guess, Jan.
Number 5 and number 6 are burn pictures after I did a burn on the blue fiber that came out of the fiber with the red casing. It wasn't that particular fiber, but it was one just like it. So the blue fiber came out of a red casing, and then when I burned it, you can see how it turned clear. And I could see that there were different shades of blue in the rest of it, and I could tell that
sure.
All the coloring was coming from the inner material.
Sure.
And the casing was actually clear.
Got it. Yeah, and that's again with a butane torch?
Yeah, again with a butane torch for 30 seconds.
Wow. And can you imagine trying to grab hold of something that is so small, finer than a human hair, and burning it with a butane torch, 14 to 1700 degrees approximately, and it doesn't incinerate. This is what's left. It changes it, but it does not absolutely disintegrate under the incredible heat it's exposed to. It just doesn't. These are some tough things. Blue fiber, 200 multiplied, it's 200x on a magnifying
glass. Yeah, that's 200 magnification. I mean, as I mentioned before, if people look at a dollar bill or money, there are little tiny red and blue fibers embedded in the money, and they're the exact same size as these Morgellons fibers. And many people could not even look at money and see those with the naked eye. They'd have to use a magnifying glass. These things are
right.
Minute.
Well, 200 power on a microscope, or some very powerful handheld microscopes, which are good, too. They look like a little telescope in a way. But whatever it is, if you think you have this issue, you can find all you need is a 15 or a 20 power scope, and you'll get a real good look at what's in any lesions you may have. If you're wondering how to identify more people with Morgellons, look for people who wear long sleeves in the summer or people who have round white spots or roundish white spots. No melanin, no pigment in their skin. The Morgellons lesions classically leave no color in the skin once they finally heal up. So you'll see that a lot. Okay, 7 and 8?
Well, number 7 in particular is really interesting because that fiber I had in a dish for a while with some peroxide. And it broke open, and the binding around the fiber, it's a two-layer fiber. The binding around the fiber split into these links like a barber pole. I mean, it pulled off like a ribbon.
That's amazing.
It stretched out. And what is on the inside of number 7 are the fiber optic bundle of wires that are the clear wires. And we'll see those in a couple of minutes in another picture. But that was what was in there, was a bundle of the clear fiber optic fibers.
Well, we call them fiber optic. We don't know if they're fiber optic, but they look like they're
right.
Suggestive
I mean,
of a fiber optic.
That's
what we call them. Yeah. We don't know what these are doing. These all of these different fibers appear to be capable of a number of different functions, and not the least of which would be to receive and potentially to send. And do remember that they do demonstrate some kind of a primal intelligence. They very definitely withdraw when you go after them. They know they're being hunted. If you go after them with a pair of tweezers, for example, many of them will pull back into the skin deeper before you even get there. Now, that's pretty scary stuff. That's why I still believe the off-planet thesis cannot and should not be ever discarded by any open-minded researcher. We just don't know.
No. The one thing about these fibers is they do come in a bundle, and I have a very interesting video at my website in the video section. It's called Wires in the Brain, where somebody has a video that shows this. It's a scientific video, and they're very proud of this, but they're showing how they can put a fiber optic wire through a person, and because it's got the many fibers, each little fiber will go into every pore that it can and continue upward. So, you know, for me, that's kind of a hint.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Okay, number 9 and 10?
Number 9 and 10 are just some new finds that I found recently. I don't exactly know what they are. Number 10 is what I would call a coarse blue fiber. It's a third kind of fiber. The number 8 is a flat fiber, and the flat fibers like that will burn. The coarse fibers like this will also burn.
Interesting. So they'll incinerate.
Nine,
okay.
Yeah. If I put a flame to those would burn.
Okay.
And number 9, this is a new thing that I've only seen in this past year, is these big tubes. And so it's one of the coarse fibers with a big tube on it. So I did a section on these tubes because it's something new that I have not seen before, which is kind of creepy in a way because it means that maybe something's progressing or they're dropping something new on me.
Okay. Have you ever in your life, Jan, had any experience that might have left you with the impression that you had been abducted?
Well, yes, but I have a childhood thing that I feel that I do recall that had something to do with that.
Okay.
And you know, I've talked to many other people that have this disease, and they have these kind of remembrances too. But I think with any kind of thing that happens like that, there's part of your brain that doesn't want to go there.
Oh, a big part of your brain doesn't want to go there. Yeah. Now this would be, and I have talked to other people over the years who have had similar things to say. I haven't seen anyone who has been able to follow this up with any kind of real scientific protocol, but it's something that is screaming to be done. Is there a linkage? Can we find a common thread between these fibers and abductees? That would be something that hopefully somebody will get into at some point.
Well, you know, I know most people don't talk about genetics with this, but I've discussed this with so many people, and we've all come up with this same sort of list of like what our characteristics are and what our heritage is and what our blood types are, that there seems to be a real big correlation in this small group of people, way beyond the normal numbers of certain blood types and all of that kind of thing. So I can't help but think that this goes along somehow with the genetics and the bloodlines as far as the severity of what you get.
Right, and that is allegedly what the visitors are looking. They're tracking genetics and bloodlines, and like people do racehorses.
Right.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. We've got... Boy, the all other fibers categories, the color, that greenish color is amazing. We're going to jump ahead. We have a lot to look at. So, Jan, why don't you make some notes of the numbers you'd like us to skip to? Then we get to the lavender gang.
Okay.
Just wild. So make some notes. Be right back with Jan Smith in a minute. All right, let's get right back to our conversation with Jan Smith. There are many things to look at. I hope all of you will take a complete tour of this amazing assemblage of photographs. We're looking at an average. Is there an average here, 10 power, 20 power? I know some are 60 and they're marked.
My lowest magnification is 40. And
you're 40 or above, okay.
And the other one is 200, and I have another microscope that does 400, which I've used in some of the things on my website, but not in this particular page.
Okay, all right, we've looked at enough fibers, so let's go on. Colorless fibers, so you want to look at one or two there?
Yeah, I want to look at number 3 for just a second to mention one thing on that.
That's colorless fibers number 3, lower left.
The reason I want to mention this is because I didn't get this full picture, but on the left-hand side of this picture, there was one large fiber, and then where you see this red gel, you see this happening all the time with the Morgellons, there's a juncture. And when the red gel is sitting on one fiber, it will turn into 2 or 3 fibers from that juncture.
And that red gel is almost always iridescent.
Oh, it is. It actually almost carries light in it.
Yeah, it's
now,
wow.
But maybe we'll want to get on to number 7, because I know we always talk about those antenna on the amoeba.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a close-up picture of just the antenna so you could have a look at that.
Very nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to go to number 5 above that.
Yeah.
Fibrous plaque looks solid. but
right.
is not. Now, this what this is, when you have a Morgellons lesion, they do not scab over like a normal scrape or a cut or any kind of an open wound. They'll grow a covering. Jan calls them plaques. Now, this plaque is made of nothing but fibers, the whole thing.
Well, now, sometimes that's how they are, Jeff, but sometimes they're made out of the layers of the amoeba, and then and sometimes this layer is right under them.
I got it. Okay. They it's all so wild. Okay, next.
Nine and ten. They both came out of my gums. The one on the left was how it came out, and I pressed down on it with a spoon or something, and it separated into all these ridged tentacles, which was pretty strange. That was a one-shot deal for me. And then number 11 also came out of that same spot later.
Utterly bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay, the red fibers are spectacular.
There's a few kinds of red fibers, and some of them are distinctly made out of the glowing gel stuff because the whole fiber is glowing and gel. And then there are other red fibers that are a more flat fiber. I did a burn experiment with the fibers in 3 and 4. I found a cluster of fibers at one point, and I did a burn experiment on those. And those, as you can see, the result did not burn and made the bulb on the end once again.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Number 7 has a crust with a red fiber in it.
Yeah. I mean, most of these are just kind of the typical fibers.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, there was one blue fiber that I wanted to mention, and I had to go back to it, but maybe we should because it might be important. It's number 13 in the blue fibers, and I find a lot of fibers that are folded like this, and I think they could be related to prions.
Number 13?
Yeah, up in the blue fiber section.
That's prions are protein size, so you must be, that's pretty small. Hard to say.
Yeah, it is, but, just the fact that I'm finding so many folded like that, it makes me wonder.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Okay, we'll go back down to the reds, and
okay.
Where do we want to go next? The all other fibers category?
Yeah, let's go down there.
Boy, are those pretty.
Yeah, one of my favorite colors. It used to be.
Used to be, yeah.
I don't know much about those. They're a newer color for me, but if we go to number 6, we're going to see something that came out of a friend of mine, and she literally had a metal fiber that had like a gold tint to it. And you can see it there in photo number 6. It's copper-colored or gold. Wire. So, and I mean, we know that there are metals involved with this, and some people present with chunks of metal, which I do, but apparently she grows the metal fibers.
Could they be somehow accumulated from the metals in your body, the minerals and so forth?
They must be in some way.
Have to be, I would think. Okay, this is another fascinating section. Wow. All right, now we get into number 7 and number 8.
Those are both like one-of-a-kind things that I found, and I had never seen anything like either one of them before. But for me, they spoke to me of the colors they use in the nano lab. There's certain colors that they do use, and on my internet site, I do have a page which shows all of the colors. And for some reason, I think there's some nano technology in here for sure.
Well, I don't see why not. Now, people will say, you can't see nanotechnology. Well, no, you can't see down to the
grows,
nano level.
You can, I believe.
You can see the end result of it, of course.
Yeah, I mean, if you've had something in your body for 15 years, it has a chance to grow.
These are self-replicating, apparently. That's something else that is under discussion, but I would suggest that there's no doubt about it. Okay, moving on down the page.
Okay, I was going to ask you to look at number 10, because those are pretty important, too.
Number 10, okay.
I call that a sprite, and what that is if you have a lesion on you, it's not even under the lesion that you have. It's out to the side of the lesion that you have, and it's under your healthy skin. And it's the red gel, and as you can see, it's growing the fibers. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is if you kill off the lesion that you have with some kind of medicine, then this is immediately going to go to the side under the healthy skin and grow another lesion. And the secondary lesions are much worse to get rid of than the original one.
That's how they move around.
Right.
So the lesions will go from one location, this is getting better, then a worse will pop up. A worse one will pop up right next to it.
But, and not only that, but around each lesion, there might be 5 or 6 of these or more.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So So, I mean, it's literally like a root system, but this red gel is once again very instrumental in growing all of this new rooting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
So we can move on.
Now we're getting down to the lavender colors. Wow.
All right. Well, before those lavender colors, there's two rings there that are really kind of important for people. One person just wrote me a letter recently, but these rings that you're looking at actually come from inside the lesion. When the lesions come up and they're sort of like a volcano, and they, this is in the inside edge of these, and you can pull these right out of the lesions, and they come out, you know, I used to call them Cheerios. But I know that I went to a dermatologist once, and I said, well, what are all these rings that keep coming out of my arm? And he looked at me like I was crazy. So, you know, obviously that's not something that you find in normal physiology at all.
Right.
So to those of you who find rings around your lesions, yeah, that's Morgellons.
Number 13 and number 14 she's talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both of those.
All right. And now we go into the lavender section.
Okay, what I kind of tried to do with these is name them as I went, but the lavender and pink things all have four parts. They have the tubule, they have a cocoon, they have what I call a connector, which is in number 18, and that they all have this strange woven-looking piece of plastic as in number 17, which I just call a device. Each one of those sets of things have all these components, so it's a system of some kind.
It is a system of some kind.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's obviously, you know, producing the same things each time, and it seems like the end product is this component that looks kind of like a woven comb or whatever it is.
Yeah. Look at number 19, folks. We have to take a break. 21, just spectacular. Scary as hell. Back in just a minute with Jan. Okay, and back with Jan on this last Friday of July, the year 2010. All right, my friend, we have one segment to go, so let's go right ahead.
We'll go quickly. I wanted to point out photo 25 and 27 and 28, only because these are more clear strands that carry things. The strands in 25 carry some type of insect eggs, and the strands in 27 and 28 carry hexagons.
Okay, 25 carry insect eggs.
Yeah.
Now, this is not... See, the human body is the host to well over 130 different kinds of parasites. This is not one of the known variety.
No.
And it's not to say that Morgellons is necessarily of an insect nature.
No, but I mean, how many insects put their eggs in strands that fly through the air, so, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I mean,
now,
these are you know, microscopic as well, so this is not the actual size of any of them.
27 and 28, these hexagons are odd, and how common are they?
This particular batch was pretty uncommon. This was from one person, but the picture in 29 is from another person that has hexagons, and you can see how they grow in a strand. So this is, and I've had hexagons in my body, many people have. I think that the hexagons are most common with the people that have had this a long time.
Number 30, multicolored fiber ball from the inside of a pod.
Yeah, so as we go down, maybe we can get to the pods, but one of the ladies that has Morgellons discovered that she was finding pods, which are sort of what we call tentacles before. Certain shaped pods just develop fibers inside of them, and there's some pictures further on down the line that are actually a little better.
Wow.
We might want to skip down to the part two now, because the rest of that stuff is not really too
very good. We're in part two, okay?
Yeah, I wanted to get to the nano stuff today, just to put it out there, because a lot of people are still saying there's no such thing as nano or whatever. But whether it's nano or not, it's a device, and it's got wiring, and it has a copper orb for an eye. It has two arrays that I've identified in photo number 3 with the X's on them. I put at the bottom the page, parts of the pages where these came from if people want to look further.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given them the chance to click on something later if they want to go see who invented this and the names of the people that designed this.
Mm-hmm.
because it's all there. But anyway, the picture number four, I think, is curious. I don't know if I had that on here before, but the way this is done is the back of this thing, the wiring, you can see, goes into the back of this thing. I call it a head, but it's wired right to that copper eye, and then it's wired down the back, and all of these pieces are all wired together.
Wow. Wow. All right.
So five and six are immature aspects of these things that aren't fully developed yet, but there was more than one.
Okay.
Number seven is the pentaconal crystal array, and the faceted crystal array, and I identified that down at the bottom of the page also from a place named J. Mall, and there's a button to click on, and you can see exactly what that's made of.
When you say you've identified it, you found it in the scientific literature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I found it in the scientific literature, and I've also studied it to know that it comes out of a nanohorn, and I found other phases of these in development, and I've scraped
all right.
Found the little crystals.
Uh-huh. So you've scanned and done a lot of research, and I know you have, but...
Yeah, I've identified these.
And Jan has gone through the whole world of nanotechnology, as much of it as she can, given that they don't tell us everything, and she knows what she's talking about. 9 and 10,
number 9 is another nano device from that same page, called Advanced Materials, and, when you look at this, it doesn't seem like much, but there's a little thing on the claw in the smaller picture that says SI. That means silicone. And it's a dark spot on the claw. And on all the claws that have turned into claws on mine, there's a dark spot. And what the silicone does in that particular spot is it creates what they call agglomeration of particles. And it causes this is an actual nanotube, but it causes it to split into that claw figuration.
Wow. Is it actually a working claw, Jan, or are these just two tubes?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, all
right,
well.
Why would they would form that if it wasn't in some way, but I know that's how it is formed. So
okay.
I'm not sure if it's actually working or not working.
All right, 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
These are wild.
Yeah, these are my friend's nano machines, and there's somebody that's studying those right now, but we don't have anything real definitive on those yet. But they're looking pretty much like some kind of a replicated deal with the perhaps some even diamond type substances.
Hmm. So what you're looking at is the yellow one, for example. You see the various they're like flaps. They appear to open up, exposing the yellow, which is, I guess, iridescent on the inside. Those things will close down, correct?
Well, no, there's sort of a pocket on the bottom of that thing that it's like the yellow, if you're looking at the yellow one, that yellow hexagon is sitting in that pocket.
I see that.
Pocket is made out of some kind of a polymer that's clear.
Uh-huh.
And then, what you can see on the bottom of those things is, in number 14, where I've taken it apart, the polymer is so clear that you can see there's a bunch of crinkled-looking mylar stuff in the bottom of that.
Wow.
And that's what you see through that pocket in the bottom.
Do we think that these things are actually assembled in the body by nanotechnology of some kind?
You know, they would have to be to some extent, because these are fairly tiny, but they wouldn't be tiny enough for you to inhale and not know it.
Right. Okay. All right. Number 15.
That's the backside of this, and that's the glyph that's on the backside. And somebody has tentatively identified that as some kind of a word for mathematics. I can't recall what it is because I just read it the other day. Somebody put it on their own website from my material, but.
So that's that's some kind of metal, are we thinking? And there are two scratches in it, like a hieroglyph of some kind?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the letter S. But it actually looks like part of the way up, it's one size, and then it looks like something smaller coming out of it at the top, like an emergence of something. It's
weird.
Kind of a strange thing.
Totally weird. All right, we have about 4 minutes.
Okay, let's take a real quick look at number 17, and let's scroll right down to the very bottom of the page, because I added something on here. I wanted you to get a chance to see.
Got it.
What that turned into after the lady had it, and I looked at it with my microscope. It started off as that orange hexagon, and what happened was another tiny hexagon emerged from it.
Hmm.
If you are down at the bottom and see those three pictures.
All right, which three? I see your oscilloscope.
No, it's really down toward the bottom of the page. It's beneath it's the last thing on the page.
Okay, I see it.
So basically, when the lady sent it to me, it looked like the picture on the right, and by the time I got it in the envelope, it looked like the picture on the left. So
wow.
The large hexagon had a small hexagon developing off the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Pretty wild, very wild.
Yeah.
All right, number 21 is even more bizarre. Look at the colors on 21 and 22, 23 and 24. Look at the colors.
Yeah. Now, when I first had these, I was working with some fellow that was a researcher, and the first time I ever showed him these, he stopped talking to me because he thought I was crazy. And I was so glad that some other people started sending them to me because it gave me some validation.
Wow.
I the way these break, they break like they're silica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and they vary. Some of them have fibers on the back, and some of them are you can see through. But one came from Texas, one came from California, and the other one came up from, you know, here from New England.
These all are coming out of lesions, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just scrolling along looking. Anything you want to catch on here in our last 2 minutes?
Number 30 and 31 are the same thing, and this is the development of a nanohorn in a crystal array. And I took the big tentacle with the black stuff in number 30, and mm-hmm. I crushed it, and that's what's in number 31. And what you see is like a thing that's like a carbon black. You see two silver crystals, and then you see some more of the red gel. And I believe that that's what will develop into a nanoarray. Those are the building blocks. And in picture number 33, I have the whole nano horn there, and I've scraped off the material. I have a picture from Google that somebody put in as a drawing that from a technology company, and I scraped my material off like they did, and I could see the same thing, and I knew it was all of those little crystals again.
The way that array works is
it's like an umbrella.
Uh-huh.
The center of the umbrella is up in the tip of the crystal, and the Y part is the other way. So when it opens up like an umbrella.
Huh.
And that's what number 34 is.
Wow. You've just done some incredible work here. This, we're going to have to wind this up now.
Oh, sure.
I invite all of you to continue looking. If you'd like to get in touch with Jan, just click on her name and you can go to her website at rents.com, just Jan Smith, and it'll take you right there. Her website is morgellonsexposed.com, and all of her material is there. A lot of it is on rents.com as well. I have a pretty huge section on it, but Jan is the one. She has been at this longer than anyone else and has more material to offer, and it's up to you to contribute. If you think you have this disorder, this infestation, this affliction, this syndrome, by all means, get in touch with Jan, and she'd like to take a look at some of your samples if you would like to share them. I'm sure she'll help you.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of con artists out there and hustlers now, folks. You've got to be careful, all right? There is no cure for this issue. There are things you can do to help mitigate it sometimes in some situations, but that's not cure. Once you're infested, you're infested.
Right.
And that's it. Anything you want to add, Jan?
Well, I just hope people will take a look at 78, 79, and 80, which I have misnumbered. But I did a burn test. I put a silver coin on a lesion, and the red gel came out of the lesion and turned into hard crystal. Then I took a hard crystal from that coin, and I burned it, and it turned into a tiny balloon. So the red gel does not burn either. And the very fact that all these fibers are propagating from it, it kind of scares me, because I know Clifford Carnicum has mentioned he's got glowing red artificial blood cells, and I believe that this may be what they are.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And obviously that's not going to be exchanging any oxygen for anybody.
No, ma'am. Jan, thank you again.
Sure.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. The amazing Jan Smith. Wow. Be right back.